I was commending the congregation this morning about the good habit or habit, and then I was thinking this afternoon how blessed we are to have Nancy, who is always so good to get food together and so forth, and arrange flower deliveries on behalf of individuals. And she tells me that y'all make it easy to do that, that the congregation is really good to volunteer to help with those things, and that's a wonderful blessing. And so I just want to commend you and encourage you to keep that up. Let me begin this evening by asking you a question. What is the best thing that anybody has ever said about you? Now just stop and think about that for a second. What is the nicest thing or the highest compliment or the best thing that anybody has ever said about you? What's the nicest thing that a spouse, your husband or your wife, has ever said about you? What's the nicest thing that perhaps your boss has ever said about you? Or that a friend has ever said about you? And can't a compliment really put a spring in your step and a smile on your face whenever you hear that? Well, it got me to thinking about compliments that God paid to individuals in the Bible. And there are some really important compliments, some high compliments that are paid to people. For example, there's a really interesting compliment regarding Moses. Moses is called the meekest man who ever lived, who ever walked the face of the earth. Now that is quite a high compliment, and tells us one reason why God treasured Moses. And then I was thinking about a compliment that's paid to Abraham, where Abraham is called the friend of God. And again, to me, that would be a very high compliment to receive. But if you want to know what I think is the highest compliment in Scripture, I think it's the one that is paid to David, where he is called a man after God's own heart. How would you like that said about you? And then I was wondering about what went into that compliment. Because after all, David was like the rest of us. He had his strengths and he had his weaknesses, and he certainly committed some grievous sins, so it wasn't that he was a perfect individual. He certainly was not. But what did David do that caused God to call him a man after God's own heart? And then what lessons can we learn from that? What do we need to do so that God will think of us in the same way? Well, that's going to be the subject for our discussion this evening. I made the point here at the very beginning that it certainly doesn't mean that God approved of all of David's actions. In fact, David did some really horrible things. If you stop and think about it, I've always thought that this is one of the marks of the inspiration of Scripture. If you and I were writing a book about heroes in our life, what would we tend to do on their faults? We tend to kind of minimize those things and overlook those things and not really want to talk about that. And I've always thought that it's one of the marks of the inspiration of Scripture that the Bible is just as detailed and just as plain about the sins of its heroes as it is about the good things that they did. So if I ask y'all to think about the sins of David, what immediately springs to your mind? At least the first one that comes to my mind is the one that we mentioned in this morning's sermon, and you think about the sin with Bathsheba and against Uriah, and you think about the fact that here David takes another man's wife and then ends up murdering, really it amounts to murder, Uriah the Hittite. You think about the death of the innocent child, all the lying and all of the deception that took place there. Does that sound to y'all like a man after God's own heart who would do something like that? In fact, that's a very terrible sin because it had some very far-reaching consequences. But then if I ask you to think about other sins that David committed, he did some other really terrible things in his life. Well, let's go ahead and take a look at one. If y'all would please turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24, and David had, at least at one point in his life, a problem with pride, where he wanted to see just how great his kingdom had become and how many people made up his kingdom. And so he conducted a census, and I suppose that we would say, well, that doesn't sound like too much of a sin to me, John. I mean, after all nations will conduct a census just to find out how many folks are there and so forth. But in David's case, he did it out of pride. Scripture's very plain on that. And even Joab, who had plenty of his own sins, recognized that King David was doing a bad thing, and Joab tried to discourage him from that. And as soon as David engaged in that census and numbered his people, his own heart convicted him. He knew that he had done something wrong, and he ended up paying a horrible price for that sin. If you look down in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and come down to verse 10, it says, "And David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, 'I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now I pray you, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly.'" Does anybody remember the price or the penalty that David paid for that sin? Again, I'm tempted to think, well, that doesn't sound like too big a sin. That doesn't sound like God ought to punish him very much for that. Does anybody remember the episode here that takes place and how many men died as a result of that sin? 70,000. 70,000. That was the punishment. That'd be like taking two Kerrvilles and completely wiping them out. So friends, I'll tell you right now that David was not a perfect man. And in fact, some of his actions, some of his sins had far-reaching and devastating consequences. If I ask y'all to think about other sins that David committed, can you think of any others that are recorded in the Bible? He's just like us. He did a lot of things that were wrong. I'm thinking now about an incident that's recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 9. You can read a few verses associated with that. But do you remember that the ark is being transported in a new ox cart? It was supposed to be carried by a particular individual with two rods, but instead it was loaded on that new ox cart. And remember that Uzzah was driving the ox cart? And David knew that's not the way it was supposed to be transported. And remember that the ox cart began to rock, and Uzzah put out his hand. Shouldn't have been in the ox cart to start with. And remember that Uzzah was struck dead for that. And do you recall the statement here in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and come down to verse 9? David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" David knew that he had done wrong. So brothers and sisters, I don't know about y'all, and maybe I'm thinking about this a little bit wrong, but it actually gives me hope in the sense that when I look at the Bible and I see these incidents are recorded and it talks about being a man after God's own heart, that I realize that God wasn't talking about sinless perfection. And so that means, and boy, if you're a self-aware person at all, you know about your own sins, that means that you can be a person after God's own heart, and I can be the same kind of person, because David had his sins, and you and I, we have our sins, but that's not what is involved here in the study of God's Word. So David certainly had his faults. And to me, the listing of these sins is great hope for us, because it shows what? That even great men do wrong. Even great men and women do wrong, and they need to repent. And again, I think this listing of David's sins is testimony that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. All right, so certainly that was not what was involved. And then I take a look at the heart that David had. I notice this statement in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. So this is 2 Samuel 13. And you take a look down in verse 14. And I'll tell you right now that that'll make a lot more sense if you make that 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. And notice what God says. You'll recall that King Saul, he rebelled against God, and the kingdom was taken from King Saul's hand. But in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14 we read, "But now your kingdom," that is King Saul's kingdom, "shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." So the kingdom was taken away from Saul because of Saul's disobedience. But here the statement is again what? That David is a man after God's own heart. And as I continue to read and to study the Bible account, it shows that even after David was called that, even after he was called a man after God's own heart, he still committed sin. So it's after this time that he engaged in sinful activities. Now, let me tell you something else that gives me great encouragement when I read these episodes. I also see that being a man after God's own heart is not based on physical appearance. Now, let me say that the Bible tells us that David was a very handsome individual. If you take a look, for example, at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 12, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 12, what does it say about David? It says, "So he sent and he brought him in, and now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one." This is the fella who's going to be king. And so he's a good-looking individual. If you come down to verse 18 of the same chapter, we have another description of David. "Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." And I'm starting to get worried, because I read those verses and I see that David was a very handsome individual, and evidently he was a good-looking fella. But then I also remember that there were some other handsome individuals in the Bible. For example, does anybody remember the description of King Saul? He was a handsome and very physically impressive individual. In fact, the Bible says from his shoulders upward, he was taller than anybody else in the kingdom of Israel. And so he stood, I guess we would say in Texas, head and shoulders above everybody else. Did that help Saul? The fact that he was handsome and tall? No, that's not what it's about. Who's the most handsome individual that y'all read about in the Bible? Who would that have to be? I'm thinking that it would have to be David's son, Absalom. Because the Bible says that Absalom, from the sole of his foot to the top of his head, there was no imperfection on him. Can you imagine what that would be like? My guess is that handsome men and pretty women know that they're handsome and pretty, but even the prettiest person and the most handsome man probably has some imperfection on him. Something that they would change. Did y'all know that the Bible says that Absalom got his hair cut once a year? Barbers tell me that hair grows about a half inch a month, so that means that a year's worth of growth would be about 6 inches of hair. Now, ladies, get ready to eat your heart out. It says that when he got his hair cut once a year, that his hair, if you get the numbers going there and translate it into numbers, we can understand that 1 year's growth of his hair weighed about 5 pounds. Can you imagine having luxurious growth of hair like that? And so he has this beautiful mane of hair, and he is absolutely perfect, and he could grace the cover of any magazine, and every head would turn whenever he walked in, and he was just as handsome as he could possibly be, and his heart was the heart of a stone-cold killer. He wanted to kill his own daddy. Now, brothers and sisters, did that being handsome help him at all? So David was handsome, and Saul was handsome, and Absalom was handsome, but only one of them was called a man after God's own heart, so it must not have been based on physical appearance. Now I'm looking out over the auditorium this evening, and we got some good looking folks here this evening. But friends, I want to tell you right now that you being acceptable to God is not based on the perfection of your physical appearance, or you know, how young you might be, or how old you might be, or how infirm you might be, or what you see whenever you look into the mirror. There's something else that's going on here. So it's not based on physical appearance. So let me ask y'all, what did make David a man after God's own heart? What are we talking about? And I want to submit to you that really I think there are four things that we have to focus on. And the point I want to try to emphasize this evening is all four of these points are things that you and I can do. We can do these things that we're about to talk about. You can be a woman after God's own heart. You can be a man after God's own heart if you'll do the four things that we're going to discuss. And the first point that really stands out in my mind is David was an extremely humble individual. He was filled with humility. What was David whenever he was first designated as going to be the next king? Whenever he was first picked out by Samuel, what was he doing for a living? What was he doing for a job? He was a shepherd. He's called a shepherd lad. And friends, that doesn't seem to me like very glamorous work, but now here's the big point. He was a shepherd lad when he was designated to be the next king, but when you read your Bible, what did he go back to doing after he was told he was going to be the next king? If somebody tells me I'm about to be the next CEO of the largest company in San Antonio, I might be tempted to give up my day job and just wait till that happens. Do y'all know what David did? David went back to being a shepherd lad. He didn't think he was too good for that kind of work. And you know what that tells me? Part of being a man after God's own heart is having a heart of humility. Not thinking above yourself as you ought to. And that really is an outstanding characteristic. In fact, Saul is still king. And Saul goes through these periods where an evil spirit comes on him and he becomes very angry. Do y'all remember what David did in order to try to help King Saul? He was picked to play music for him, to help soothe King Saul. And there was none of this, "Well, listen, buddy, I'm going to be the next king after you. You just go ahead and get off the throne. That's what I'm going to do next." There wasn't anything like that. David didn't think he was too good to play for King Saul. He didn't think that tending the sheep was something that was beneath him. Now that he's been designated to be the next king, he thought that work was okay. That was something he could do and something that he ought to do and something that he should do. And that tells me that at least part of being a man after God's own heart is being humble. And you know what I think? I think most of us have plenty to be humble about. David knew that it was okay to be a shepherd. He knew it was okay to play for King Saul. He understood his place. He was willing to wait on God's time. We're going to talk about that in a little more detail in just a moment. But I can't help but feel that one of the outstanding characteristics of David the shepherd lad was just the humility that he had. He accepted his place of service and he didn't boast. And I think that's an important lesson for us. May I tell you a second point that really stands out in my mind? When I look at the life of David, and yes, he did some really bad things. I understand he had his faults and his weaknesses and he committed his sins. But something that I really see there is an overwhelming faith in the life of David. He always believed in God. Now, sometimes he acted contrary to God's will, but he just had an overwhelming faith in God, that God would know how to bless him. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I see I'm kind of sadly lacking in that area. Oh, I have faith. But when times get tough, sometimes it's easy to sort of lose that faith. Do y'all remember when Edward was reading for us before the sermon this evening? And Edward was reading about David going to face the giant Goliath. And how tall was Goliath? Young folks, help me out there. Your teachers have told you. How tall was Goliath? He was between 9 and 10 feet tall. To give you some idea of that, I took a tape measure and measured it. Y'all see that exit sign there? That's taller than that exit sign right there. And I tell people the bigger people are, the friendlier I get. But you know what David did? When David saw that Philistine giant, when he saw Goliath, he said, you know, when I was out guarding the sheep, and you know the herds would be in danger, the flocks would be in danger, the flock of sheep would be attacked by a lion, flock of sheep would be attacked by a bear. He said, God allowed me to kill the lion, and God allowed me to kill the bear, and the same God that allowed me to kill the lion and the bear will allow me to kill the Philistine giant as well. Now, I don't know about y'all, but to me, that's faith. I mean, that's faith in action. It's easy to talk about having faith, but when you're facing the 9-foot giant, and the Bible says something interesting about when he met Goliath. The Bible says, and I was watching a movie, you know, sometimes Hollywood, and Hollywood almost always messes these things up. And Hollywood shows David going out to meet Goliath, and here David is, he's kind of slinking around the trees and the rocks, and he's trying to get into position where he can sling a stone at Goliath. Do you know that's not what the Bible says happened at all? You remember what the Bible says? Bible says, when David saw the Philistine giant, he ran to meet him. He couldn't wait to get at him. Now to me, that's overwhelming faith. And I can't help but feel that part of being a man after God's own heart has to be having that kind of faith. Now, can I bring that down to us today? You're going through a hard time. You get some sickness. You get some illness. You're waiting on a test result. You're not sure how things are going to turn out. You're having a problem at work. You're having a relationship problem. Something bad is happening. I mean, that is the nature of this life. You're going through some trial, some tribulation. Things aren't working out the way you had in mind. You're not sure what the answer is going to be. If there is going to be an answer, it's not going to be an easy answer. You can't see your way clear. You feel like you're inside of a deep hole and somebody's kind of pulling the top there on you. And you're wondering how all this is going to turn out. Did you know David's faith said, with God I can do it. Now how about you? How about me? Do I have that overwhelming kind of faith? You want to know what it means to be a man after God's own heart? I think at least in part, it has to be talking about that attitude. I think when God said, I've sought a man after my own heart, that He was talking about an attitude. He was looking for an attitude that David had. And do I have that kind of attitude? And then I was thinking about some other incidents that are recorded in the Bible, and it gives us great insight into David's character. It says, and it shows us, that David not only had great faith, and not only was he a truly humble individual, but I also noticed that he had a spirit that was willing to forgive other people. He had a very forgiving. For an individual who engaged in so many battles and who had spilled so much blood, David really had a spirit of forgiveness about him that I think sometimes I sadly lack. Do you remember what the King Saul tried to do to David? You know, after David was chosen to be the next king, and Saul would get really angry. You can read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 18. On two different occasions, it says that King Saul picked up a javelin and threw it at David and tried to pin David to the wall. Now, if you pick up a javelin and throw it at me, you're getting ready to get the javelin back. I'm not going to put up with that. Or at least that's the way I think I would feel about it. Do you know what it says David did? David just backed out of the way and refused to retaliate. I don't know about y'all, but that sounds like forgiveness. That feels like a tolerance that many times we lack. And do you remember that there were incidents where King Saul would be trying to kill David, and David would have every opportunity to kill King Saul? He would be in a cave, and King Saul would go into the cave, and Saul didn't know he was there. And boy, all David had to do was to reach out and to stab him. And I think it would have been tempting to think, well, this is how God has worked out for me to be king. I'm supposed to be the next king, and Saul's there, and all I got to do is reach out and stab him. This is the way it's supposed to work. And David wouldn't do it. And then David and one of his friends, they'd sneak down into a camp and they'd come right up to King Saul. And again, all he would have had to done was to reach out and to kill Saul. And he just refused to do that. I remember, do you recall when we were talking earlier about his son Absalom and how Absalom was trying to kill David? And there's one incident where David is fleeing for his life. He's running away from Absalom, and there is a fellow who comes out. His name is Shimei. Shimei comes out and just starts cursing David and says, well, here's what you get for being the kind of fellow that you are, and just runs him up one side and down the other, cursing and yelling at him. And the soldiers that are with David say, please let us go over and kill that guy. Let's just put him out of his misery right now. And you remember what David says? Nope. God's going to take care of it. One way or the other, let God handle that. He says, we're not going to spill his blood today. Now, I don't know about y'all, but for a fellow who engaged in so many battles and slew so many people, that sounds to me like a very forgiving individual. Doesn't it to you? In fact, you know, something that has always stood out in my mind is even after Saul was trying to kill David, and man, I wouldn't feel good about somebody who was trying to kill me. Did you know that David would go out and still slay the enemies of King Saul? That he would still go out and kill Philistines even after Saul was trying to kill him? That's a remarkable thing. That's a remarkable attitude. So when I look at the life of David, I see humility. I see faith that's there. But I'll tell you something else I see. I see a very forgiving spirit. And sometimes we don't have that. I think it's easy for us to want to retaliate. Somebody does something bad against us, says something bad against us, gossips about us, spreads rumors about us, does something that's very personally hurtful to us. What's the first reaction you have? Young folks, let me ask you this. When a friend does something bad to you, what's your first natural reaction? What do y'all do under those circumstances? Older folks, when somebody says something bad about you or something to you or offends you in some way, what's our first kind of natural knee-jerk reaction under those circumstances? Isn't it to retaliate? I mean, I think that's what the devil wants us to do. And David just wouldn't do that under these circumstances. And again, I think God was looking for that attitude. God was looking for that kind of heart. And if we want to be a man after God's own heart, we want to be a woman after God's own heart, I think we have to do a better job of cultivating that spirit of forgiveness. And then the last point I'd like to talk to you about this evening is just how obedient David was. Now, I understand we've talked about his sins. And just like all men and women, there were times when David didn't obey God. But when I look at the balance of his life, it seems like usually David was willing to obey God and to do that even under very difficult circumstances. For example, if you look over in 2 Samuel chapter 7, there's a time when David wants to do something that was good for God, or at least we would think that it was good. David said, you know, I've got this really nice house that I'm living in, and God, your place of meeting us here on earth is just this tent. How about if I build you, God, a really nice house? I'll build the temple. And that's the thought that David has in mind. And boy, who can fault him for that attitude? He wants to build that. And what was God's response to David when David says he wants to build the temple? God said, no, you're too bloody of an individual. That's not for you to do. How would you feel if God said that to you? I'll tell you how I'd feel. I'd feel hurt. My feelings would be hurt. Okay, God, I did the best I could, if that's the way that you want it. And I think I would have been tempted to behave that way. But David accepted the restrictions that God put on him. And instead, David gathered the material together so that his son Solomon would build the temple. Now to me, that is an extraordinary example of obedience. And he accepted those restrictions without rebellion. So I have a question for you this evening. When you think about your own life, let's just pause for a second. Let's stop and think for a moment. And let's weigh our own lives. And do you want to be a woman after God's own heart, ladies? Men, do you want the same compliment to be paid to you that was paid to David? Well, are you cultivating humility in your life? Are you a truly humble person? And are you a faithful person? And are you a forgiving person? And then finally, are you an obedient person? And if you want to be a person who is after God's own heart, I think those are the areas that we need to work on. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment Zion's Call that's been selected by Brother Jerry. And that's a wonderful invitation song. And God wants us to do the right thing, and He's calling for us to do the right thing. And God wants us to repent of our sins, and He asks us to confess the name of His Son before witnesses. He wants us to be baptized for the remission of sins, and He wants us to be an humble, faithful, forgiving, obedient person. And you have the opportunity to do that this very evening while together we stand and sing.
From the throne shine for you and me. Let us listen to the call of love. Zion's Call.